Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Thanks so much for joining us this morning as we start off your day with the Word of God and prayer, sanctifying your morning with the Word of God and prayer. And today, we get a special guest in studio. We get to talk with Dr. Detlev Schultz. He's on the faculty at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne. He serves as professor and chairman of the Department of Pastoral Ministry and Missions, also the director of the PhD program in missiology and the dean of the graduate school. So thank you so much for spending some time with us today here in the studio today, Dr. Schultz.
Thanks for having me.
Now, what brings you to St. Louis, to the International Center of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod?
Well, once or twice a year, missionaries come here to be taught on missions and to find out more as to how they can be educated on before they go out to the mission field. So this is a very important week for all of them.
It certainly is. I have the privilege of the studios being right on the main floor of the building, and so I get to see all the new missionaries coming in for this orientation and seeing them all come in eager to and ready to learn and prepare for the mission that lies ahead for them, and also have the privilege of being here when many of them come home for a reconnect, where they come back to the International Center to give a report and an update and reconnect with the staff and others here at the International Center. So it's a joy to get to see this orientation and joy to know that they get to have professors like yourself as part of the training. Tell us about your background. Where do you come from, and what's your connection with missions?
Well, I have I was born in South Africa, in Dundee, South Africa. It at that time was called the Province of Natal. And my parents went there, 1955, my father was sent out from Germany, and my mother followed him in 1957, so they worked there amongst the Zulu for about 38 years, and so I was a son of five siblings altogether, and we went there and grew up and had to go to school, boarding school, and all the rigors of being mission kids, And then my parents returned back to Germany and retired there. So my mom is still alive. She lives in a village called Hermannsburg that's just north of Hanover.
So you grew up, parents from Germany, but you grew up in South Africa?
Right, right. And, I am a German citizen, and, that is how it works in Germany, that you are by blood wherever you're born in the world, depending on your descendancy and who your parents are. If they German citizens, so are you, and so from the beginning that was clear. However, being born in South Africa also brought other complications with it, like serving them in the military, which my two brothers did. And so I fortunately was able to go to Germany to continue my studies after my BA and study theology there. And so by the time I was done with those theologies, the regime in South Africa had also changed. So as a result, I wasn't conscripted for military service.
When did you know that you wanted to study theology? Was your intention to become a pastor or a missionary?
Well, somebody has to do it in the family, Of my two brothers, all of them were somewhat more technically engineer involved in certain issues, that they liked. And so I was probably more the one who read the books and, studied more on my own, literature. So it seems to me that that was a good fit in the eyes of my father, that I'm the one now destined to follow his line, which is to be a theologian. He eventually became a bishop of the Lutheran Church in Southern Africa, and so has a huge library, in which I'm still trying to sort out after his death.
Wow. So you studied theology in Germany, is that correct?
I studied theology in two places. It's one close to Frankfurt, Germany, a little village, or not so actually small, called Oberursel. And there's a seminary, the smallest seminary in Germany, and Lutherische Theologische Hochschule, it's called. And then I also studied in Münster. That used to be the important school of some theologians, perhaps, that some of them have contributed a lot to the theological discussion, like Martin Brecht. He was Kurt Arland. Everyone knows him because of the New Testament editions that he puts out, of course, having deceased, but his legacy still lingers on there.
After studying theology, then where did you go on to serve?
After studying theology in Germany, I finished, my vicarage and also kind of a small probationary pastorship, in Heidelberg and Mannheim. After that, I actually decided to go to St. Louis. Here in St. Louis, I studied a Doctor of Theology, mm-hmm. which has now evolved into the PhD. And once I finished that, I was meant to go to the seminary in South Africa and teach there. But in order to gain experience, I was first assigned to Botswana, which is in Sorowe, which is in northern part of Botswana amongst the Bamangwato tribe, and they are part of the broader Botswana people. So there we stayed for approximately 5 years before I then got a call to come here to the United States to teach at the seminary in Fort Wayne.
So you served for approximately 5 years in Botswana as a missionary.
Yeah.
What was the primary work you did as a missionary?
The primary work was to gather people who had basically congregations there had disintegrated, They had been left vacant for a while and weren't served. So I had to gather them all together, try to rebuild a Lutheran church there. And then in addition, also to think about starting a church in a neighboring village called Palapia, and serve another one further down south, Mahalapia. So there was some pastoral work needed, as well as also some church planting.
Very good. So you spent time trying to revitalize a congregation there, building a potential new congregation as well.
Yeah. Which includes a lot of work also to prepare yourself for it, like learning the language and and taking a time out, to do that, which is, a very important part of doing mission work amongst people.
Just out of curiosity, how many languages or what languages do you are you familiar
with?
Well,
we were at home where my parents always insisted on speaking German, so at home it was very clear that we speak the tongue of the parents. And then, of course, going to school, at the age of five, we had to start to learn English. But, since it was kind of a Boer Republic, the Afrikaans language was also needed, and so the official language, not only English, but also Afrikaans was the language that we had to learn. So, and in addition to that, I, having grown up in a country where amongst the Zulus, we also spoke at home and played around with boys, and who had, the Zulu language. So we knew a little bit of that, and they called me Umfana Wetu, which means our child, because I used to roam around with them in the fields, and go and hunt and be in the huts and everywhere where they lived. So I enjoyed that time very much, and unfortunately, through the separation of white and blacks, I lost track with many of those that I had grew up with. And they went, many of them, to the bigger cities. Urbanization is always happening in Africa, and joined the mines. And from then on, I didn't or don't have any contact with them anymore.
Having learned these languages, it's experienced several cultures. It seems like and studying theology, serving as a missionary for quite a while. How do all these experiences help you in your work as a teacher, as a professor, teaching those who are preparing for to serve in missions?
Well, we have a large international contingent of students coming to the seminary. And so they look at me as somebody who has also been out in the other parts of the world. So, so we share a common story in a way. And so when I teach, I can also provide a perspective other than ours here in the United States, share also a little bit of those experiences one goes through as one enters a new country, and these students all come in for the PhD program at least 2 years, and so with that I have to accompany them in all stages, and I think we bond together on something that is this international experience, and I can draw attention to Christianity as it is from my experience in South Africa and in Africa as such, And having traveled all over the world, you know, I can also incorporate other areas sometimes also those areas where the students come from.
Is there anything about your life as a missionary that you miss now? About your life and whether, well, your life as a missionary kid or being a missionary in Botswana?
Yes, to me it's about Christianity and how it grows and how it meets the frontier of people who have not yet found Christ. And that to me is always something so valuable, to see how actually the work bears fruition. You know, it grows and you can see that happening right in front of you. And all those challenges that come with that, you know. Here, as we live our Christianity in the U.S., we generally just have an established church. We go to church on Sunday, and so it's a very, I'm not trying to criticize it, but, you know, all more a mechanical, customary way of doing it and practicing it, whereas in other parts of the world where the gospel is challenged, you start to see things that, you know, are new to you. And certainly when the gospel wins and brings people to Christ and to the church, you realize this is something very, very important, and that's what we need to continue.
It's not just a compartmentalized part of life.
Yeah.
The church and the Word of God is your identity, your faith. Christ is your identity. It's not just something you go do on Sunday morning.
No, definitely. And people really go in many parts, you know, especially now in Nigeria or elsewhere. You can see that their faith as Christians, if they accept it, is challenged and gives them, though a new life, also a life that is struggling. And being challenged by people around them. This is something that I think we often forget, that what we take here as something quite ordinary, and instead we should be very clear that there are Christians fighting their faith around issues that we take for granted. Mm-hmm. And you know, I can also, one further thing is that as you go to areas around the world, you see how Christianity grows and also how the church, the Missouri Synod, is expanding. A church, you know, is mission in a movement, you know, and I think we have an obligation to emphasize that while there is so much to be done in the future here in the United States, also in cities, inner cities, we also need to be aware that we have a constant obligation for overseas as well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We're talking with Dr. Detlev Schultz. He's professor at Concordia Theological Seminary and also a speaker for New Missionary Orientation here at the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod International Center. We need to take a break. When we come back from that break, we'll continue our conversation with Dr. Schultz. Stick around for more His Time right after this.
I'm Missouri State Treasurer Clint Zweifel. It's not often that I get the opportunity to reunite families with their history, but my office has more than 100 unclaimed military medals that I'd like to return to the Missouri veterans who have earned them. For a complete list of medals and to see if you have any unclaimed property, visit showmemoney.com. Help us honor these veterans for their service. Go to showmemoney.com today.
This message brought to you by the Unclaimed Property Division of Missouri State Treasurer Clint Zweifel.
With the Next Law and Gospel being an open mic Friday, it offers you the opportunity to phone me, Tom Baker, at 1-800-730-2727 to ask any theological question on your mind. You can also email me at lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com.
Weekday mornings beginning at 9:30 on KFUO.
Whether you're a regular worshiper at the church of your choice or find it difficult for you to get to church on Sunday morning, you may benefit from our live worship broadcasts each week on KFUO. Our early service begins at 8:15 Central and originates from Ascension Lutheran Church in South St. Louis, where Reverend Matt Clark leads divine worship. Our live late broadcast at 10:45 comes from Our Savior Lutheran Church in Fenton, Missouri, with Pastor Mark Sell leading the worship. Join us for the message of mercy and forgiveness through Jesus Christ, Sunday mornings on Worldwide KFUO.
on the next Lamplighter Theater.
This is a healing balm. Allow me to apply it to your wounds.
Yes, thank you.
Raphael, tell me about Staiti. Any news of my mother?
This cliff looks even steeper by daylight.
Don't miss the next Lamplighter Theater, here on this station.
Saturday mornings at 11 on Worldwide KFUO.
Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Thanks so much for joining us this morning as we start off your day with the Word of God in prayer. Our guest in studio today, Dr. Detlef Schultz, is professor at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne and also a speaker at New Missionary Orientation here at the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod International Center, helping prepare our new missionaries who are getting ready to go out into the field in the year ahead. And so, Dr. Schultz, what is the segment of training that you're offering for our new missionaries this year?
I'm particularly focusing on the theology of missions. Mm. And so you could say a little bit of mission theory coupled with mission practice, you know, and trying to integrate both our theological heritage, what we teach, biblical theology with that, what generally is understood as the contextual issues. Mm-hmm. And I can bring both aspects to it. You know, I have studied this over years now. I've written a book on it, Mission from the Cross. And so I try to relate that, what I have written, to the students in my 8 presentations, divided up, you know, in 1-hour sessions, so that they will be getting something that is basically, in a summary, saying, our mission is not just pragmatic. We just don't go out there and do anything. We are clearly supported by a theological heritage that tells us this is the way to go. And so that we try to combine both of what we believe and teach with also what we want to do out there. And these students here who are coming to the orientation are certainly very keenly interested on both sides of what I'm teaching.
What are some of the first things that you get into in this theology of mission? What's the first lesson? Well, the first thing you start with.
The first thing that they need to know is that missions is no longer done as it used to be in the pioneer days. We call that the pioneer missionaries would go out into areas where there were no Christians. Mm-hmm. They had no partner churches, so they were left on their own and raised a church, you know, with their own hands through their work. And nowadays we have to go and see to it that these missionaries are aligned with what the partner churches overseas want them to do. So it's no longer just them being sent out, but we have to relate also to the wishes and the desires of partner churches and try to encourage them to be understanding that they are no longer on their own. They cannot adopt as pioneer missionaries also what you would call a paternalistic attitude, that they are the dictators, so to speak, of what they want, but have to be servants to a church that has requested their presence.
There's an emphasis on the word partner in partner church, isn't there?
Yes.
That we have, as confessing Christians, as Lutherans, we have brothers and sisters around the world. We have churches with which we have fellowship around the globe. You come to us from Germany, SELC, or SELK.
Yes, correct. Yes.
And so working together with our partner churches around the globe, it sounds like that's key to the difference between missionaries today and the pioneer days. Pioneer days, like you said, we're going out into uncharted territory, really. You know, going out into a territory where there may have not been any Christians, any Lutherans prior to that. So now working closely with our partner churches and working side by side with them to support the work that's already been done or the work that's being done there.
Right. We have something like 35 partner churches now we're in fellowship with, and there are many requests of others who want to join that International Lutheran Council. That's what it's called, this partnership, you know. A little different to Lutheran World Federation or the World Council of Churches, because we are focused on being a confessional Lutheran alliance, you know. And so these missionaries that go out will realize that what they are going to is not a church that speaks a different gospel, but these churches all request something from us because they feel there's a mutuality in faith. Mm-hmm. What I would say perhaps is important for our missionaries as they go out is not to forget that the core issue of missions is still to bring the gospel, the proclamatory character of the word that needs to be preached. While they are not always involved in that directly, that still needs to be the core understanding that we are out there to support the partner churches in understanding their missionary obligation. I've been around the world and in many countries where these young churches, if you may call them young, have formed and have actually, however, through introspection now, have forgotten and lost much of that missionary zeal and that idea of actually being still obliged to follow the mission of the Lord. And so our missionaries can serve as catalysts, as those who can go to the church leadership in partner churches and ask, you know, how can we help in the area of expanding Christianity in your country?
What are the questions that our new missionaries have today, or what is the biggest challenge that you think our new missionaries will face?
I think there is an important element that we need to underline. I mean, if we are saying to the new missionaries that you are going out, who sends you? Mm-hmm. In whose name are you going out? Mm-hmm. Now, of course, everyone will say Christ. I go to bring Christ to the people, and I stand in the name of Christ to bring that gospel to them. So there is obviously the allegiance to Christ. But you see, what we are trying to say, that has always been the mark of the Lutheran Church, is that they are going as being connected to the body of Christ. And so they are not alone. They are within the body of Christ and are sent on behalf of the body of Christ over to the other parts of the world. So there is what you would call an ecclesial connection, mm-hmm, of them going. And that's kind of a challenge because I always feel that to a degree when I say that they are sent out by a church, that they are held accountable to a hierarchy or jurisdiction or something of that. Now, in the first case, we would just say the gospel that we proclaim, that we present overseas, is the one that we as a church here confess as well. So they're representing, in that regard, a theological alliance with the church that sends them and should see themselves representatives of our church, the Missouri Synod, overseas. So I'm trying to work that idea amongst them all, you know, so they don't feel that they are like Jonah, going out and having no connection to anything.
Sure. Mm. I'd like to switch gears a little bit and talk now about the programs at Concordia Theological Seminary that focus on missions as well. Mm. Do students who go through the regular Master of Divinity program take studies in missions as well? Is that included in the regular curriculum?
Yes, they do. We have clearly addressed that issue, and we want to understand the pastoral ministry not separate from the missionary office. You mm-hmm. know, I mean, there is in every pastor an important aspect of being a missionary as well. The Word of God doesn't draw lines between the sheep and those out there. It wants to go and reach out, so the pastor cannot stand in the way. So he has to find, as a pastor, also an understanding of missions that he can integrate into his parish life. So we have understood in the formation of pastors, you need to include also missionary courses. And we have two, in fact, you know, Confessing Christ, which is in today's world. Confessing Christ today's world is focused on more evangelism, ideas of doing a missionary expansion through a congregation. But then we also have a different course that is more addressing the philosophies and worldviews of today, especially in the United States, like postmodernism, you know, modern atheism. And so we call that course ministry in a pluralistic context. So, you know, we're trying mm-hmm. to do our best effort to prepare the pastors, not only with looking back into the past, you know, of what they've learned in history of mission, in the history of the church, or in other areas of the curriculum, but my task particularly is to point them forward as they're going out into the world as to what they meet there.
The doctoral program, the PhD in missiology, who would study for a doctorate in missiology?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's first of all, missiology is basically not only cultural anthropology, so it is also theological.
Mm-hmm.
I try to emphasize that always, you know, that our special program is specially focused on finding a theological undergirding, if so to speak, of our missionary endeavor. And there are many students worldwide who understand that this is a very particularly nuanced program, PhD in missiology, that is not just devoted to contextual, cultural anthropology or other sciences, you know, but that the core of it is really to let the church know that we are there to form students to become future leaders wherever they come from. As they return, they are there to help their church to further the mission. And so while we might also be limited today in sending missionaries all over the world, we see our PhD program as a wonderful venue where students can come in from partner churches and actually be trained here and do a lot of work over there once they return.
I see. So it serves just as many students from partner churches, if
right.
not more,
right.
than students here in a
US. We are challenged somewhat with having a residency component. Mm-hmm. A residency component means a student has to come on our campus.
Mm-hmm.
Many good pastors can't afford to come
sure.
in that during over a number of weeks, so we have to understand that. But there are still pastors who manage in the surrounding area to take an intensive or so to mm-hmm. Of 2 weeks, four times a year to come to the program, and I think we are helping many pastors here in the synod as well to find and further the mission of our synod here in this country.
Anything else that you'd like for our listeners to know about the programs that you're involved with at Concordia Theological Seminary?
Well, everybody can look into it, you know, mm-hmm. and see whether he qualifies. You know, a Bachelor of Theology or a Master's would be good to have, and learn from us, you know, as to what it means to be a church in the 21st century. You know, there are so many issues mm-hmm. now that are coming forward at us from all sides, you know, and the church is challenged. And to be a church that is relevant, we have to engage in missiology.
Absolutely. Well, we've been talking with Dr. Detlev Schultz, professor at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, also a guest speaker for missionary orientation here at the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Dr. Schultz, thanks so much for being our guest this morning on His Time.
Oh, thank you very much for having me.